We're back, everybody.
We're back after all this time. 2 weeks.
2 weeks away.
Getting our notes.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to The Wine Situation. I just want to take a quick moment before we start the show today to dedicate this to someone I recently lost. My stepbrother passed away. And I wanted to dedicate this episode to him, Jeff Pierce. He taught me how to be strong. He had a great sense of humor. And he will be dearly missed. We love you very much. Now let's get into the show.
This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
I just drink wine.
Welcome to the wine situation.
Hey.
Hey, everyone, welcome. We missed you.
We missed you so much. But we've got so much exciting things to share with you now.
So many exciting things happened in 2 weeks' time, right?
I know. We joined Boardwalk Audio.
Boardwalk Audio, what's that?
It's a podcast network.
What? That's so exciting.
Oh, my God. We got a sponsor, Gregory Condas Wines.
Gregory Condas Wines.
Go to gcondas.com.
We got networked. We got sponsors.
We got all the things. Did we say who this that velvety voice over there is Sean Buchholz.
Ooh, and that lovely rose petaled.
Oh my.
Gem. is Ellen Clifford.
Yeah, we're here to guide you through people's wines with wines.
We're here to hold your hands while you wine and then passively pour wine into a glass and let you drink it.
Mm-hmm. Sean can do that because he's the wine whisperer. He just looks into your soul.
And I perform my wine Reiki.
Mm-hmm.
And your spirit tells me.
Your spirit gives him the answers.
Yeah.
But you have the answers within you, yeah. But he knows them before you do.
I'm like,
is how that works.
Hold this crystal. Think about your childhood. Here's a Sauvignon Blanc. And Ellen's really smart, you guys. She took some tests at the WSETS.
I'm not so smart as I can, like, recite some factoids. And, you know,
total factoids. Factalicious. Your body's too factalicious for you, babe.
Meow. Yeah, you haven't mentioned my my great body covered with the...
I haven't objectified you enough on this show. But
guys,
you are a goth.
I am.
Yes.
Yes. Well, I wore black lipstick today specifically so he would remember.
Mm-hmm. Remember your goth roots.
Yes.
Yeah. Your goth origins.
Guys, we have a brand. One of the new things is we have a brand new segment called the Hip Sip Tip because we're so cool and you want to know what we're drinking in our off hours,
we're
right?
So cool.
So cool.
Hipster Hip Sip Tip.
Oh, what were you drinking, Sean?
Oh, my God, you guys. Well, this is so cool because someone poured me a Beaujolais, which is a domain in Burgundy, France.
Chalonnaise, I believe.
Chalonnaise, yeah. I'm not sure about that, but.
Okay.
Anyway, he was like, this is a Chardonnay.
I took the test, Sean. I'm probably wrong.
You and your facts. But he was like, this is a Chardonnay. And I'm like, this tastes a lot like.
The alternate truth is.
I'm like, this tastes a lot like an Aligoté. And he's like, nope, it's Chardonnay. And I'm like, you sure? This tastes like Aligoté. And he's like, nope, Chardonnay. I'm like, okay, whatever. And then I'm looking at the bottle on the back. It says it's Aligoté. I blind tasted it, and I stood my ground, and I was right, you guys. And I've never felt cooler in my life. That was my, like, hip, tip, tip, tip.
I love it. It's so good.
Ellen, what was yours?
It segues well into mine, because the same person who tried to blind Sean and...
Jared Hooper. We love you.
We do, especially because mine is not one wine, but many. I went to a tasting on Monday that I didn't quite count how many wines they were. Veritas Imports had a tasting for people working in wine, and Jared Hooper very kindly said, you can go. I'll get your name on the list. And I said, great. I show up. They give me, like, a packet, which I'm holding it here to show you guys, of, like, the lists of wines we could taste. And I was looking around the room. I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to taste 30 wines. And it's 11 a.m., so I'm like, everybody's using the spittoon. I did not swallow.
Let's party.
I did not swallow one sip of wine the whole time.
You're like, I'm in a hotel conference room. Let's do this.
I was at Commerson on La Brea, where they hosted it, and I methodically started working my way through the whites and then the pinks and then at the end the sparklings, and then I'm like, I have not drank any wine, and I feel a little bit tipsy here. And then, so I'm leaving, and I'm like counting. I tasted nearly 100 wines. On
wow, the... that's like a hip sip chug.
Yeah, it took me like it was a hip sip chug.
That's
not
yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'm really now. I'm really curious how much if you don't actually literally spit every single time, and
that's
you,
how it
at
happens.
The end, you're like, "Oof!" Gets through your. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, should we intro our lovely, amazing face that's across from us?
Speaking of our new network, we have the head honchos.
The head honchos here, guys.
The big cheese.
The big cheese.
The boss man.
The boss man. Pizza the Hut.
Feels not nice just to call somebody Pizza the Hut.
Well, we figure we got off on a good start with you, and we're going to get you boosted up so we can say whatever we want.
Just want to see how far you can push me.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, yeah.
We're already... That's cool.
This is Steven Pearlstein, guys.
Steven Pearlstein!
First off, I just like to say that I don't think of myself as like the boss or the head honcho, but I do like to think of myself as the benevolent podcasting dictator.
Oh, that's
dictator.
Right.
Okay, yeah.
You do sign off your emails
I do.
That way.
Let's do.
And if you do it
so
wrong,
far,
I'm
is.
Very mad. If you do it wrong, I'm very mad. We'll see how this goes.
Okay.
I'm going to give notes throughout the
okay.
session.
Yes,
he's actually holding his thumb up,
yeah.
And it could dip at any moment.
Yeah,
we don't know.
It's like one of those like live polling graphs.
Yeah.
You just see how good you're doing.
Yeah. And Sean and I are just like holding hands, like, let's get through this together.
Yeah, you guys are doing great. You're doing great.
We're doing great.
Hold on. And fantastic. I'm excited to have the show on. You guys, I think it was Ellen sent me this podcast. I was like, oh, if you got, like are interested in maybe bringing this to the network. And I was like, I mean, sure, I'll listen to it. I listen to a lot of podcasts. And I was like, this is funny and interesting. And I feel like this needs a voice. So I'm excited that it's out there. And I hope I can really help do some good for you guys. And if not, like, then you'll be mad at me and be calling me Pizza the Hut again.
No. Well, thank you so much. That's so sweet of you to say.
That's awesome. Steven and I go back to like the roots of my very first improv team, like to do this weekly show. And you're two man, you're Brendan and Steven was always, that's my first memory of meeting you. It was 3 or 4 years ago.
Way back when with Brandon Herman doing two-person improv and being real silly and crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're here
drinking wine
and being sophisticated.
We grew up together.
Is improv the key to success?
It could be.
Look at us right now.
I know.
Look at us right now. We're in a room that's a little hot.
It's a little warm.
There's 400 bottles of water in front of us. This is the height of luxury. Everybody go do improv.
How to win at life. Improv.
Sign up for one-on-one and then just do it for years.
One day you could be drinking wine with Steven and I and Sean.
Yeah.
You just yes and your way right to the grave.
Yes, that's what I've done. That's
so
exactly
tasty.
Right.
So good.
A couple of zip zap zops along the way.
Oh, shit. Uh-huh.
If we end up doing improv warm-ups,
God.
This will dip way into the negative, and this might be our last episode on the network. There's no way of knowing.
Cedar. Sycamore. I'm sorry. Pointies. Okay, let's get into what you want to whine about.
Okay, yeah.
Because we need to, otherwise we're going
to
go off the
beverage.
Rails.
Yes, and you guys, I'll just say this. There's my first note to you.
Mm-hmm.
Feel free to keep me on track because I just talk about whatever the fuck. Into nothing all the time. But today, you guys said, like, what do you want to whine about? And I just want to preface this by saying
that you have a really good Chelsea Handler story, but we'll get into it later.
Whoa, spoiler, I love it. I hate whining about things, especially on the public record, because I'm very much like, just fucking figure it out and like stop bitching all the time.
Right.
So when you guys were like, find something you want to whine about, I really had to think about it. Like, I sent a few emails back and forth, and I ultimately landed on the thing that I've been spending a lot of time thinking about and something that's really frustrating, and that's planning a wedding. I'm getting married in February of 2018. To my lovely wife, or future wife, Elise Michelle.
Hey, congratulations.
And thank you. You just popped some bubbly to congratulate.
I did.
Is great.
Another very funny improv person.
She's
so
great. She's funnier. She's by far funnier than me and more interesting, too. and she drinks a lot of wine.
Posted a picture on Instagram today of your faces reflected in a wine glass, and I was like, I love it.
Isn't that fun?
That's so great.
We went to the Monterey County Fair when we were up in Pacific Grove, and they had like this weird photo booth with all all these terrible, terrible photos. And I was like, I snapped, like my head like snapped to it. And I was like, we need to take that photo. And she's like, I don't really want to take a photo. I'm like, no, we're doing this.
Yeah. You're like, but babe, I'm going on a wine podcast tonight. Yeah, we have to.
You don't understand how important this is to me.
It's so important.
Yeah. So I don't know. I just want to gripe a little bit about wedding planning because, man, people say it. It's so cliche. But, man, it is a nightmare to plan these things.
Well, there's a gripe. I mean, yeah, it's a huge gripe. There's so many people, you know.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, we could have picked any booze whatsoever to serve you because clearly you just need to get a little trashed and take your woes away.
Cheers.
But you can cheers as soon as we all have a wine.
Oh, no. Oh, I was just saying I got in the zone. Oh, my God. Okay, I'll take it back.
No, I love it.
I'm like every preschool teacher. She's like, you get what you get and you do not get upset.
Yeah, you guys can be.
I know you're an adult with your own podcast company and you're getting married, la, 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 but you got to wait your turn if you want to cheers.
You guys can be benevolent wine dictators. I'm fine with that.
Sweet. Dude, I love that title. When we pass our SOM tests, we're going to be like, we're benevolent wine dictators.
Wine dictator. I love it.
Well, obviously, and Sean, you thought of this. It's what do you drink at a wedding?
Mm-hmm. Champagne.
We got you true champagne.
We splurged. Actually, we didn't splurge. Who splurged?
Greg Condes splurged.
Oh, what a lovely sponsor segue.
Yes.
That's so great. Thanks, Greg Condes, for
this
lovely
Greg
champagne.
Condes.
This is a grower champagne. We'll explain all that later. But yeah, let's
cheers to that.
Taste
cheers.
This.
Oh, we did it. Big reach.
Mm. That is good.
Also, this is good too because I'm not a big, I think I told you guys too, I'm not a big red wine guy, but I do like everything that's sweet and white and bubbly. Mm-hmm. And this works.
All right.
I'm already having a good night.
This is work.
Yes. This is
the point.
Pascal Lanmont is the maker of this. It's a grower champagne, which in champagne is very, it's also complicated.
You're going to jump right into grower champagne, huh?
No, I'll start at the beginning. Well, what should we start with?
Wine comes from grapes.
Yeah. Champagne is fucking complicated.
There was a big bang. It got very dark.
See, you think your wedding planning gripes are annoying. We start educating you. Like, I start droning on about how champagne's made, and you're just like, God damn it. This makes the wedding planning much better.
Yeah.
I can go into some long spiels about champagne.
Well, speaking of being complicated, champagne is very complicated in terms of classifications and how it's made. It's very labor intensive. That's why it's so expensive.
It started as an accidental baby in France.
Is that true? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like penicillin, they accidentally discovered champagne?
Well, so...
It's a true thing, guys.
Exactly.
Come on.
No, I just don't know why I thought that was a funny analogy.
I like it. Yeah. And it cures so many more things.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm allergic to penicillin. If I have penicillin, my throat will close and I will die.
Oh, no.
Oh, shit.
So good thing is, champagne's nothing like...
And bacteria
nothing like
will penicillin. Never become immune to it. You can always use it to cure everything.
So what do you take instead of penicillin?
They have,
curious.
Well, there's a bunch of cillins, and my doctors always just tell me, just don't take any of them. They'll probably kill you.
Oh, shit.
Thanks, doc.
But, I don't know. It's too complicated. But luckily, I don't get too many bacterial
But
things.
There's something else out there than
Please
penicillin.
Please don't wound yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, never.
Don't wound. Never.
It's very padded in here.
It's very padded in here, and
he's safe.
Completely wrapped in bubble wrap.
And again, there's bottles of water everywhere. Like, it's soft and gentle. Like, nothing's going to happen. I'm so safe here.
So many bottles of water, you guys. There's so many bottles of water.
And we have a little bit, We won't pour the red wine on you since you don't like it, but we have alcohol to cleanse the wound. So.
Yeah, it's double good. All right, so should I just start, rattling everything about wedding stuff? Or do we talk about this wine more? Because
I was going to tell you how it was an accident.
Go for it, yeah.
Here's what I know about champagne, is that if it's not grown in the Champagne region, it's actually called fake-ass champagne. Officially, in France, that's what they call it.
Yeah, they call it, fake-ass champagne.
Yeah.
I mean, it's beautiful, and then it's native French, but...
In native French, that translates to Cremant,
but... Oh, snap. That was a burn.
No,
suck it, Cremant.
What a read. What a read on Lemieux or Cremant.
That's it. All the wine insiders right now are like, that's a sick burn. And I'm just sitting here going like, I understand.
It's true. Like in France, they have to call it Cremant. And if they make, if it's called Cremant, it's made the same way champagne is. There's so many different ways to make bubbly wine. But I was going to tell the story about how it was an accident. So champagne's really fucking cold. Mm. And what happens with wine fermenting normally is they put the yeast in, or they let natural yeast come. The yeast eats the sugars and the grape juice, and it keeps eating it until it's done eating it, and then you have the wine.
Right.
There's no sugar left in it.
Well, boom.
And the yeast dies when the alcohol reaches a certain level or when they choose to filter it out. So anyway, in Champagne, it gets cold too early. The yeasties die off, or
they go into
hibernation too early.
Oh.
They were just trying to make still wine. They just wanted some normal wine in Champagne.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they're making it. They don't realize that this was before Louis Pasteur explained yeast, everything.
Yeah.
And then spring would come along. The yeasties would wake up. So they'd open their bottles of wine in spring and be like, why the fuck is my wine bubbly? It's because the yeast woke up again and continued fermenting in the bottle. So in fermentation, alcohol plus sugar equals carbon dioxide plus alcohol plus heat. And yeah.
Math. So. That doesn't add up, Ellen.
If you count the molecules, I'm sure it does.
You have to believe that's true. So basically,
it's true.
So what comes first? So it's got to be the alcohol comes first, right, from the yeast, and then like it stops, it goes to sleep, hibernation, like a polar bear,
right?
Like a polar bear, yeah,
and then goes out to feeding again, and then just shits out bubbles.
Exactly,
pretty much.
So basically, they just wanted to make still wine and champagne,
yeah.
But it got so cold there, so they would make the still wine and they'd be like, "Ah, great job, let's cork it and put it in the cellar and get ready for winter.
It's done.
And then spring would come around and be like, "Ah, let's wake up, like let's go drink some of that wine we made. It should be ready." And they'd go down there and open that wine.
We're drinking yeast farts. I totally get it. And this is the yeast farts is what you have at your wedding.
And this
that's
is
the fanciest thing you can get.
Yeast farts, exactly. And this is where they get like the bready brioche notes of champagne.
Oh,
it's
interesting.
It's yeasty.
Okay, yeah.
That's the other thing with champagne is...
I've already learned so much.
We're here to make everybody smarter. This is the master plan.
And drunker.
It is. We did say this. This is the, what is it, boozy study hall?
Oh yeah, boozy study hall.
This is drunk history mashed up with a...
Wine book for the dummies.
I love that.
Wine book for dummies.
That's so fun. And also, you guys do two of these usually a night, right? So, I mean, really, you really should just start going for like three or four a night. Just see. The last one, it should just be a nightmare every time. Like, guys, listen, wine is so good.
It's so tasty.
I love it. And it's honestly, I pay too much for it because sometimes it's just gotta get
drunk.
And I'm mad.
We had to find a sponsor. We'd just be going through it. And not that kind of sponsor.
Yeah.
We have to find
the opposite sponsor.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
One day a week, guys.
That's
we do
so
this
funny.
One day a week.
Yeah, we're okay.
Every other day, we're fine. We're volunteering.
Anyway.
We're out running marathons. We're feeding the poor.
Yeah, that's true. I have to believe that's true.
That's all true, right? Yeah, that's all true.
So then they start exporting my champagne. I'm just going to keep with my teaching to prove that I'm okay.
I'll be the bad student, and you just keep on being great.
They started exporting it to England, and they were adding all this sweetener and like additives to like make their like, it's sparkly, it's still bubbly, we don't know. They were trying to make it taste better. They added sweeteners. The British love the sweeteners, but they also started...
And the French people hated that, and that's why they called it Brut Sauvage, right? I think I've learned that at some point.
Brut Sauvage means no dosage.
Oh, okay. I've understood that it's sweet, and they're like kind of making a little bit of like a rib. Like, oh, these people like it sweet because they're fucking stupid.
Brut Sauvage or Brut Nature is like the driest.
Does dry mean not sweet?
Right.
Oh, well, then I don't fucking know anything.
No.
Yeah.
The internet told me wrong.
Oh.
I was so interested in that story. I was like, wow, that's kind of a good, that's like a weird, like subtle burn.
Yeah.
Like a language burn. Imagine being able to create a word or like a category of something just to make fun of. Like a group of people or something. Like, God, I want to do that.
Well, that's so French. It's so French.
Yeah, it is very French.
Yeah. Oh, no. So,
all right, so
I screwed up anything.
Keep going.
So they dosaged
it. This was still like a long time ago before Dom Perignon came along. They would ship things in wood, and he was one of the people who helped them figure how to ship in glass. And the British started getting excited by the bubbles that were coming up. They're like, this is cool. And then they got filtering got better. Basically, everything about winemaking was getting better, and they were like, oh, we have glass. They could drink in glasses now. They could see the bubbles. They're like, let's try and purposely, this accidental thing that happened, let's make it purposefully happen.
Hmm.
And thus, champagne.
That's champagne.
So they
I didn't know that.
So they still do that.
So, but they know how to, this time they make the base wine and the yeast totally ferments, and then they add more sugar and yeast, which is called the liqueur de tirage, and it induces a second fermentation.
And those are our bubbles.
Those are our bubbles.
Those are
Got
bubbles.
Got it. This is all going, so this is all going into my toast, which I guess I don't think I give one of those at the wedding, but I'm just going to do it anyway. I'm just going to say
the rehearsal dinner,
give
though.
A yeah. Yeah. Give a toast now. Give a toast now.
Yeah, do you want to give a toast?
Oh, no. I feel so much on the spot.
That means you guys are supposed to kiss.
Yeah.
Well, I, call your wife.
I just have to, I'd have to like run home and then come back in 15 minutes and be like, I did kiss her. Okay. Now, tell me more about what.
And then we start again. We're doing it again.
That is like an obnoxious thing.
Are
like,
you
if
writing
you think
your own
it.
Vows?
It is.
I am, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The pressure. I think I would, I'm like, I would opt to elope probably and like not deal with any of that.
It's a smart choice not to like get too involved in doing all those stuff.
Have you gotten to
do
wedding cake tasting though?
No. We're fucking up. That's like the big thing.
Yeah, you got into the tasting part. Yeah. Yeah.
We fucked up that right now.
I mean, did you just order blindly?
No, we haven't ordered
anything. Did you
blind order? We're a little bit. That's, I mean,
you're behind?
We're a little bit behind on that. I mean, our wedding is about 6.5 months out. So,
oh, okay. You have time to get a cake.
Or 5.5 months. Sorry. We have time. But,
just
I mean,
get a
yeah,
pizza.
We got to get a fucking pie and just like a pie and a pie.
Get a pizza.
Yeah, we haven't done that yet. We've been trying to, like, there's so many little things to cover. It just starts from such a weird, like, wide scope level of, like, when do you get married?
Right. How did you pick January?
February was when we picked. So fucking.
What
listen.
Day in February?
Here's the first note. Listen better.
Fuck.
All right. He's a good guess. He's a great guess you got. I mean, you know, respect them a little bit by understanding what they're saying. But okay, whatever.
I could have sworn that like when you were posting pictures on Instagram of your wedding that said something about December. So I'm just like super confused.
Yes, I said I want them to RSVP by December 17th.
Oh, see, okay. I was paying attention.
Good job.
I've been stalking you on Instagram.
Although, still, that doesn't really explain why January is your thought, but it's okay. It's fine. It's fine.
February is close. It's halfway between February and... Okay, just
so
go.
How
so
do you
why?
Decide a date? So, like, the first thing was I proposed in November, which is, I guess, a bad time to propose.
Oh, what?
Because...
Now you always have something to be grateful for.
Here's the thing. Is like, you're supposed to give everybody, like... Like, if you're inviting people from out of town, which I have family out of town, so does she, you're supposed to give everyone, like, 9 months to do that. So, at least that. And so, my fiancé always wanted a September-ish wedding, like a fall wedding. And we were like, well, hold on. We don't quite have enough time to plan it because we're just not going to do anything for, like, the Thanksgiving, December. We're not going to fucking do anything. Let's be real.
Yeah.
So we were like, well, let's push it a little bit so we can give everybody time. And then that ended up in, like, December... November, January, which nobody wants to do anything
at
that time.
My parents got married like 3 days after Christmas or something.
That's
so.
Crazy. Like, I think that's like, I think that's considered a little faux pas. No offense to your parents.
They had a real small, like, wedding.
Yeah, then that's a different thing. Yeah.
They didn't try
to invite everybody. Like a big wedding where everyone's coming.
You got it. And they, like, everybody wants it to be convenient for them to travel and stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, you know, with friends out of town, family out of town. It's like a fucking nightmare. So we just found the first long weekend of the year.
And
then that's the other side of it. You don't want to wait too long because then people are like, you're engaged for 19 months.
Right.
Like,
right.
What's wrong? Do you not love each other? And I'm like, well, no, it's just
there's a lot of things to consider. Just a.
Are you getting married in LA? Or are you getting married?
We are. Yeah, we're getting married in LA.
That's
LA River Center and Garden.
Where?
So, LA River Center and Garden, which is just like a little public park sort of thing in LA, right above Elysian Park, right above Dodger Stadium.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. It's a nice little area. We're excited about
That's great.
So, yeah, the first thing was just like finding the date, which was like a weird nightmare. We picked the first long weekend we could find in February. And we also secretly don't like it because it's too close to Valentine's Day.
I was about to say, wasn't it?
February 17th. 2/17/18. And that's too close to Valentine's Day. Like, I'm like, I don't want to be cliche. I don't want to be like, oh, we got married on the day of love. We didn't love each other so much.
But now you guys have to celebrate two holidays.
Like
now
Italian
you have to get her two.
Oh, just leave me a Korean. See,
yes.
Buenos Aires. Like,
oh, now they're from Argentina.
What?
Just really. I mean,
sleepy.
I just know it's a language of love. That's all I know.
All of my languages are of love. And then it's like you have to pick your venue. Here's a spoiler out there for everybody who ever wants to get married. If you want more than 30 people at your wedding, guess what? It's going to be so fucking expensive to have a place. Like, the venues charge $1 million. Like, we have one of the cheapest venues, and I like, it saddens me to say this in a way because it makes me feel like cheap, but we have one of the cheapest venues in LA for about that size wedding that we're going to do. and it's like $5,000 or something. Yeah. It's like a huge amount of money to be in a place. It doesn't come with like food. It doesn't come with drinks. It doesn't come with chairs. It doesn't come with heaters.
The person to officiate? Who's officiating? How are you doing?
Oh my God. We haven't asked our officiant yet, which is like terrible.
Is this someone you want to get ordained? Are you going to have a friend?
Yes. We have to, like, they have to do a whole thing. It's a nightmare. We haven't asked them because this person has a kid. They've been crazy busy and we're like, well, we want to like ask you in person. We don't want to like just text you. And we've been like trying to like plan stuff. There's so many little stupid nightmares in wedding planning.
Totally.
This is the whole thing.
You're asking Johnny Meeks to officiate you.
Johnny Meeks, I just want to formally say that right now. You've always been Johnny a great Meeks. Inspiration to me. You've been a great coach, great teacher,
coach,
and I really like you. And if you remember when you came on my podcast, I found out it was your birthday. And I got you a little cake for your birthday.
Holy
I put
shit.
A candle on it.
Wow.
So, like, he agreed to record a podcast on
That's
his birthday.
That's right. The
what a
improv
crazy person.
Obsession.
Nice person.
Yeah.
And he has a kid.
Yeah.
I was just trying to think of people
guessing.
I know in the community.
Don't guess. We don't want to spoil it. We don't want to spoil it.
Okay.
Well, not like to plug Covell, but Covell does weddings now. And we've
what?
Had a couple
right?
there. Yeah. Because we
Serious?
Have it's a hotel above. So it's a 5-room hotel.
Oh.
And it's actually super affordable.
Interesting.
Like people, and we've done
How many
like three.
People can you fit in?
60.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so, do they do rehearsal dinners? Because we're on the hunt for that.
Yeah.
Oh, ooh, shit. This like, is so good.
We do it in, we do it in the sidebar.
I'm
it's
so
crazy.
Happy
we had like, we had like the ceremony upstairs, and there's like an outdoor kind of balcony.
God, yeah. I still haven't
open
been up
bar,
there.
And Sean, you can do
we
open
go
bar.
Up there
yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Let's go.
Speaking of, yeah, anyway.
Yeah,
Covell wants to do like a live episode in sidebar, by the way.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, the manager's like, you guys got to record a live episode.
Yeah, we do.
Sure.
All right, everybody come out. Wine's going to be expensive
Was
as
that,
fuck.
Wait.
We're going to do it on your wedding night.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yes, we're going to have our first live show.
Although that is something we're trying to plan for our wedding is an after party, a little bit of like, you know, after it's over for people who didn't get invited to because like, that's the other nightmare of
it's
planning
like
it.
It's like the decompression for Burning Man. Like everybody.
Yeah.
But we can talk like off air or whatever too. Yeah. About,
no, let's
like,
talk about it on
let's
air.
Let's talk about it on air. Anyway.
Like, let's just ruin this podcast by talking
let's
about
Let's talk about your wedding. Yeah, well, let's plan your wedding, like your alternate wedding.
Ah!
I know you've done a lot of work, but let me
just
throw it all out and give you my option. You could do it all at Covell with food, alcohol, all the rooms, and you could stay there overnight.
Mm.
$7,500.
So have you guys decided what you're going to serve for people? You haven't gotten cake yet. You probably... See, my first, I'm like, if I were planning, I'm like 500 million steps removed from planning a wedding.
So yeah, you got to go.
But I would be like, I just want a cake and a dress and good booze.
Yeah, that's essentially... No, I don't care about the dress at all.
Flowers,
or the cake, frankly. All I care about
you don't care
is
about
the
cake.
Booze and the people.
Okay.
I care about the things. I just think it's like the things that make a good party. It's like good people, good drinks, good music, you know, whatever. Everything else takes care of itself.
Exactly. It's true.
So, like, you have to start with date. Then you have to figure out your budget, which is also a nightmare.
What about registry? Because you're like, ooh, you could just sell all
I'm
the
get
free
into this
stuff
too.
To
I'm into this too. Okay. Then you got to figure out how many budget. Then you got to figure out how many people you can invite. Which is, then you have to start figuring out which people you can invite, which is a nightmare because especially in this community, I know a fucking million people.
Yes, you know, and
I know, and like you know,
you could do what I did
and,
with my birthday, which is I didn't send out invites until the night before because I was like, I don't want anyone
just to see who comes.
No, that's a game.
Of Russian roulette, as far as I'm concerned.
I wanted to go to a small bar. I didn't want a lot of people at my party, but I wanted to invite everyone. And you know, I'm not going to hold anything. And also, then my feelings can't get hurt by this person showed me up because I'm like, okay, I'm just going to. So it's also self protective in a lame way. I sent out the night before. I had like, you know, 7-8 people. It was great.
That's what I did for my last birthday. I actually made it a very expensive bar. So I was like, I was hoping to push people
away. What'd you pick?
I think it's called the Spare Room in the Roosevelt Hotel.
Oh, yeah,
the
yeah.
bowling
I've
alley
been there.
Thing. Yeah. So everything's there. It's way too expensive. It's hard to park.
Nuts.
It's like a nightmare to get to.
Right.
And because in previous years, I've had too many people at my birthday party. I get too drunk because everybody wants to buy me a drink.
Right.
I drink like 40 drinks and I die the next day. You know, like
I drank 30 gin drinks at the Spare Room, I believe. So,
yeah, that sounds right. Yeah. I've done that before.
They were free.
When it's the year where I have three whiskeys, like I'm holding three whiskeys and I'm like trying to give them away, and my friends are like, no, they're yours. We bought bought them for you. I'm like, this is a bad night. Like, it's 9 o'clock.
Even with, like, just eight people at Tabula Rasa, like, people kept being like, I'll buy the next bottle of wine. And I think we went through, like, probably four. No, seriously. We went through, like, four or five bottles of wine.
Good for
wine.
You.
It was a good night.
It was a good night. Yeah. But, yeah, then you have to, like, start ranking your friends, which is a weird thing to do.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. So then once you have your people, or how many people, then you have to pick your food. Food's crazy expensive.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm paying, like, just the food is, like, $50 a head for every single guest.
Yeah.
That's not including, like, the venue, the clothes, the decorate. It's nothing. It's so much money.
And then they
money.
Nickel and dime you. They're like, do you want glasses? You're like, of course I want glasses.
Of course I fucking want glasses. Why are you going
to... $3 what? A glass to rent that.
$3 a glass. They pull all kinds of shit. They want... They have chairs. They should give you, like, old people retirement home chairs. Those are free. Or if you want, like, decent chairs that don't look like they've been recently defecated on by somebody who can't control their bowels, it's those are free. $3 a person. And then you're like, every little one, it just adds up. Yeah. Every little fucking thing. Do you want silverware?
Yes!
We're not savages. We're not eating with our hands. I'm not going to make grandma stick her fucking fingers in this pasta and twirl it around like her hand's a fork. I'm not doing that to her.
Can we get sushi? Everybody, there's trees outside.
Yeah.
Grab some Twix. You have
And then if you ask for sushi, they say, do you want a naked woman to lay the sushi on? I'm like, of course I do.
Yeah, of course.
How else do you fucking serve sushi, right, guys? Everybody does
Los
that.
Los Angeles.
So obviously you're not going to buy buying true champagne would be super expensive.
I think, we'll probably do fake champagne then. Yeah. I don't know. It's true
champagne.
Maybe you
shouldn't do it at all. Well, here's the thing is, ask any wine person who does a lot of wine pairing. Everybody will bitch that champagne and cake is the worst pairing on earth because champagne is super dry. And I'm like, if anything, do a really nice Moscato d'Asti or something. But I'm like, it does not pair well with cake, champagne.
Champagne does not pair well with cake.
Ooh, I didn't know
everyone.
That.
Ooh,
shit.
Because generally you're supposed to pair wines that are a little sweeter than good.
Sean's trying to get us drunk.
You guys, let's party. It's Thursday.
Let's just never stop doing this podcast, guys.
You guys, never stop recording.
Zig, I know you've got a life and to go home, but what if you just didn't?
Yeah, Zig, do you want some champagne, by the way? Do you want some champagne? We have glasses.
Zig wants champagne, guys.
Shit. Yeah, there it is. That's a good call.
Of course it does.
I can grab the glasses. I got it.
Look at that. Oh, wow. That was very.
Yeah, I'm like Spider-Man.
Yeah, you're like, I got glasses.
I brought it right over.
You're just like a Spider-Man for glassware.
I apologize. We haven't offered it to you, Zig. You're just so politely ignoring our buffoonery over here.
He's like, you guys aren't that funny. You have a little wine in you and you think you're fucking interesting people.
Exactly.
Meanwhile, I'm doing real shit up on the wine. The thing about wedding, I'll keep on griping a little bit about it. The thing about wedding planning that's so interesting, it's so high pressure for people who are getting married. And especially, I don't think this is sexist, but they prey on the women, man.
I'm sure.
They are like, my poor fiance, we talked to a photography company. This is a company that, employs hundreds of photographers and, whatever. And they're like, well, it's $2,000 for a photographer for 8 hours. And you're like, damn, they get paid really good to take fucking photos.
And then you got to buy the photos after.
Yeah. Well, luckily you get digital files at this place, and we ended up not going with them. But whatever. It's like they want you to pay for every little thing, too.
But do you feel like you have a friend that is a good photographer that you can ask and pay $500?
I mean, I've thought about this.
We know so many people that are – I'm a headshot photographer, too. We know
– Everybody knows. But see, that's the thing is I would feel so weird and terrible for having – a friend who is a guest do it to have a friend who was not a guest to work. I'd be like, I'm sorry to invite you. Hey, would you snap some good photos though?
My friend Dave an old member of my old improv group got married and he had the one friend who does chauffeur driving, driving people.
Whoa.
I don't know if he might have volunteered to do it. You know, Jay.
I don't know. It's one of those things that it feels weird to do. I ended up getting somebody who is much more low cost, independent, and they're trying to build up their wedding photography portfolio because they know they can make some good fucking money doing it.
Right. That's the thing with this town is you can always find someone who's working to build something.
Yeah. Hustling a little bit and you can not feel so terrible about helping them and them helping you.
I have that at Sidebar sometimes at Cobell because people are like, I have my birthday party in Sidebar. Mm-hmm. I requested you as our bartender.
Oh, great.
Whoa.
And I'm like, but you didn't think to invite me to your party?
Yeah.
You're like, you want me to work your party for you? And I'm like, I don't really
Did some former guest of ours do that?
It happens often. And really? I think, and people say it to me as in like
a compliment.
As like, a compliment.
Isn't this, so,
isn't this so nice of me to ask for you to be there? And I'm like, yeah. Actually, yeah. It's not.
I've never worked in like service industry yeah. stuff before, but I've always thought like that it's got to be a little bit weird to like wait on a friend or like, I just don't really want to do that exactly. I don't know. It's something that in my head, like, I just immediately don't know what the social graces are of that, right. And I can't handle it, which is why I don't want to hire photographer friends to do that. I'm like, I just don't know what to say. I don't know what to do.
On one hand, it's really nice to sort of, like, you know, give your friends, like, good service.
Yeah,
because,
yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you know, they're like, oh, because I care about you, and I know you really well, and I want to make sure you're having a good time.
Yeah.
So there's that.
There's a good upside.
Yeah, it's a great
Sounds
upside.
Like you're a positive guy.
Yeah, you try to do the positive. But then there's other times where it'd be like, I want to be fucking hanging out.
Yeah.
I don't want to be working right now.
I'm not here for fun.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, we love going there because it's like we get to hang out with you. I'm like, yeah, but it's not really hanging
no,
out with
don't.
Me.
Yeah. Also,
it's like
next
because
time...
I have a veneer on at work because you have to because you're in the service industry. So
you pretend that you like people.
You have to pretend you like people.
Yeah.
You do. You have to pretend like you're interested and engaged with everyone's
Sean still
equally.
Likes me, but I just like tipped really well until he's like, I'll do a podcast with you. Fine. Just stop coming.
And a couple times, you know, the mask has dropped off, and it's been like, people are like, holy shit. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Let me just.
Oh, God. This is crazy.
Let me just adjust my narrative real quick. Okay. Awesome. I love my life. You're a great person. We're all good.
We're all heroes.
We're all heroes. No, but, you know, the service industry is. It is that, but it's exhausting. It does take a tremendous amount of focus and, you know, outward energy.
I think the upside of ever being on the other side of, like, knowing people who you're helping out is that you can always, like, give them a good service or do good at it because, like I was saying, everybody else is so predatory and mean. It's, like, insane. They told my poor fiance, who was very susceptible to this type of thing. Again, this company that hires and employs hundreds of photographers was like, you know, the prices are going up in 2 days. Which is like, I'm like, through a Skype session that we were doing that. They're giving us a consultation, which is really just like, do you want photos for your wedding? And we're like, yeah, of course we do. It's like, do you want them to be good? I'm like, yeah, you fuck. Like, there's nothing to talk about. You know what a good photo is. It's so stupid. They're like, what kind of style do you want? And I'm like, wedding photos. Like, and I know a good bit about photography. I can talk about it with them. But it's like, you guys aren't going to do that. You're going to get some random fucking guy to take photos. You're going to pay him like $300. You're going to take 70, whatever. And so they told him, oh, you know, price goes up in 2 days. And my poor fiance was like, oh, shit. Like, we got a book. Like, I guess, how much do we need to put down? And like, she's all worried about it. And I was like, no. The prices aren't going up 2 days in the middle of the week. There's no reason for that to happen. Yeah. I was like, why is that happening? Just because. Like, fuck you.
Yeah, fuck you.
And so then the prices went up, but one of the reps from the company told, again, my beautiful, lovely fiance, who was a little bit susceptible to the stress, with that they'd give her a discount still because they liked her. Bullshit. That they were photographers were booking
no
up.
No one likes her.
No, listen, this is the most insane premise I've ever heard, bro. I'm sitting there just saying she likes her, bro. I'm like, no way. They told her that the prices were going up but they'll give her a discount for now and that they're booking up all their photographers. And this was like 9 months ahead of our wedding. I was like, you're running out of photographers? Fuck you.
Yeah, fuck these people.
Fuck
what is
you.
This company? What a and bullshit it, company.
Dude, I mean, here's the thing is I have enough like Instagrammer friends. I'd be like, give everyone a hashtag, be like, please just do that. And then I'd pull off there.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be my solution.
You say hash dog?
Yeah. Do you,
you
not like
hash
dogs?
Yeah.
Has the hash brown wrapped hot dog.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Oh my God, that sounds delicious.
Right?
Photos
we
on
literally
top.
Just accidentally invented a great thing.
Yeah. You guys,
actually,
LA hash dogs.
Shit, check out our food truck. Zig, shut it down. Shut down the recording. We're going to start hash dogs.
I'm done podcasting. I want hash dogs.
We know where the money is.
Actually, yeah.
But it's, hash dogs.
I could see it's plugging just, a vegan dog into that. That'd
it's not
good.
Fair how they,
no, it's
they
stupid.
Really, like, they're predatory about it, and they prey on this idea that this is your one day.
One day,
and
yeah.
if it doesn't work right, you won't have photos. You won't remember. Your guests won't be happy because of the food. You're like, you know, if the DJ doesn't, if you don't
it's
get the right
to be your
DJ,
day, fuck everything. I'm like, fuck the music,
ass.
Fuck the flowers.
Fucking, I'm going to shit in your mouth for my wedding.
Lovely wedding. He actually shat in my mouth. But that was
ceremony was beautiful.
Ceremony
he was
beautiful.
So mad.
He was so mad. He shat in my mouth.
This is a thing I expected of Steven Pearlstein, but not really in a way. That's it. And then And then I'll just say, here's the last little bit I'll gripe about, is that there's also people, you know, it is your day, and people have, everybody says that, like my fiance's parents, her mother specifically, who I really do like, and I think has the best of intentions, is like, Elise, do the wedding your way, like have it your way. My impression of her mother is Bill Clinton.
I was going to say,
where's Elise from?
She's from Virginia, and her mother really doesn't sound like that, but she does have a little bit more of a twang than Elise will admit. So I just like really lean into the accent. But she's like, Elise, I want you to have this wedding your way. Do what you want. Don't worry about what anybody else wants. And then she's like, and then her mother, like in the same breath, will go, please don't make your father dance. He doesn't want to do it. And then
are they going to have a father-daughter dance?
I think he's fine with it. Wow. But like, it's just some weird thing that her mother has. Or it was like, Elise, make sure you play the oldies. You gotta play some oldies for that. You gotta play the good stuff. I was like, okay, like whatever you want, Mill. We'll play some stuff. Also, it'll be fine. Also, don't worry about it. And then like, it's just like everything. Elise, do I have to do anything? Like, you don't have to do anything.
You're fine.
Please
show up.
Chill and just like, it'll be so easy for you. There's just
until
like a lot of
if
weird
you have
pressure.
Kids, then she needs to help a lot.
Yeah, right. I want that's the if and when we
you
have
gotta
kids.
Gotta butter up the mother-in-law.
Like, yeah, I need them there. I need because I you know I'm gonna still be podcasting, drinking wine, and shit. I'm like, sorry, daddy's got to go to not work.
You guys, we're going to have Elise on the podcast. So yeah. Like, you should.
She'll you know, bring two bottles.
Yeah, bring two bottles.
Okay, we're warned. We have been warned.
You've been warned. Every time we come home, she buys wine at the I'm making her sound like such an alcoholic, and I'm fine with it. we buy wine at the grocery store, and I'm like, man, I feel like she just bought a bottle of wine. There's never wine in her house. It's always drank.
It's always drank, yeah.
But she did once accidentally buy a bottle of alcohol-free wine, and that's just been stuck in our home. She just did it on accident, like a fucking goober.
You should
give it to us to taste test
on the podcast.
Do you guys
we should actually.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, because
we're going to have a guest someday who doesn't drink, and we're going to either have to do like, why are we friends with these people? Either like try experiment with non-alcoholic wine or do spritzers with bitters in them or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I have a couple people that don't drink that want to come to the show. They're like, oh, I can never be on your show. I'm like, no, we'll do
no.
No.
Yeah.
No, I think it would be
why
good.
Why is your voice so high, Sean?
We want to be equal opportunity to all whiners.
Yeah. I love it. Oh, man. Okay. I don't know. So that's, I have a bunch of stupid gripes about the wedding stuff. I could tell you on for days.
I mean, it could go on and on. And like, it's like a conundrum.
Yeah.
It's a wine ball.
I'm still very concerned about the cake.
Yeah.
And pairing the champagne with it.
Ellen's worried about the cake, guys.
I know that we're not really going to have a chocolate cake because, again, my lovely, beautiful fiance hates chocolate. So I know it won't be chocolate.
Yeah.
That's about all I know.
Pumpkin?
She loves carrot, pumpkin, earthy, red velvet. Yeah, she loves that's her.
Get
like,
a red
palette.
Velvet cake.
She
that'll be the sexiest cake.
It's so sexy, also, so erotic, and it's so close to Valentine's Day. Love is so cute.
Oh,
fucking
watch love it. Get a red velvet.
I love that.
Get a red velvet.
Sometimes like people just fall in love, and it's great.
It's okay. Cupid pulls that arrow back and lets it fly. That little
baby will find you a sexy man.
Like, oh, that chubby little baby. That chubby little
baby. That naked
love
little baby.
Naked little love baby.
Cupid.
Oh my God, Cupid, you disgusting.
Oh, Cupid, you're disgusting. Cupid, you disgust me.
I mean, there's that whole monologue in Midsummer Night's Dream where she's like goes on about how Cupid's blind and so is love.
If this could be more pretentious, we're drinking wine, talking about wine, talking about weddings, and now we're doing Shakespeare. How up our own ass are we?
Yeah. Champagne at that, not even just wine. We're drinking expensive wine.
All right, you want me
to? It has delicious autolytic notes.
We're drinking expensive wine, champagne.
All right, I can jump up my ass a little bit more with my Chelsea Handler story.
Oh, yeah.
Might as well bring in the showbiz. Do we have time?
You have 2 minutes. Go.
Is that right?
Right? 2 minutes, and then we're doing the lightning round, so everything's fast. From here out, everything's fast.
No,
go.
This show isn't. No, that story is not fast enough. This story is not fast enough for
no,
2 minutes.
No, okay, well,
it's not. It's
go
okay.
For it.
No.
Now people want to hear it, though.
I'll just say, I produced.
Now people are like, now I
gotta hear. Tomorrow, Chelsea Handler's airing a segment all about Twitter bots, and her show got in contact with me just weirdly, randomly, like, can you program a Twitter bot? This kind of came out. Yeah.
Okay.
And I was like, I know how to do that. It'd be sort of fun. And so I diverted way too much time to do this thing. Then they invited me to, like, come to the show and meet the crew and the writers that I've been working with via email this whole time. I was like, yeah, I'd love that.
Sure.
And so I go, and then they made me a studio audience member. They gave me a VIP seat, which included no seating in the waiting area, no food, no snacks, no drinks, no alcohol, no water. In fact, it They made us wait outside at one point. I was like, hey, I'm really hot. Like, is there water anywhere? And they're like, sure, I can get you water. They take me into a vending machine where I could pay $3 for water. I was like, I worked on this fucking show. Like, I'm not interested.
And Steven, this is the solution to your wedding woes. You have the guests you invite and then their studio audience.
Did they just not know?
They did know.
Those fuckers.
That's how they treat. And I was like, and I again, I want
to
just
pay
admit,
people on her show to be studio audience too.
Is that right?
Like.
So not only did they not pay, but did they pay you to do the research?
They paid me to do what I did.
Okay, Chelsea
sure.
Handler, I do want you on the show because you're an alcoholic and we would love to have you on drinking
not?
With us, but
she's
fuck you.
She's drinking vodka, though.
Fuck you.
It was just such a weird nightmare experience that I was like, how is this what you think anybody wants? Like, nobody wants to be a studio audience member for any... Like, imagine being like, hey, you could come on the show and meet us. And then, like, we just make people sit there in the fucking corner and be quiet and
during
don't give
taping?
Them drinks. Such a nightmare. Ugh. And like I felt bad. I felt again. I'm saying I hate whining. This is such a stupid.
No,
up your
I,
own
this
ass
deserves
complaint.
The wine.
But I was like, this is fucking bullshit. Yeah. Like, and then the only reason I didn't leave was because I didn't want to be. I thought about actually tried to escape, but I didn't want to be disrespectful to the producers.
Oh,
I was trying to be mean. I should have.
Unless they paid you real well for
they paid me. They paid me fine. But I was like, I was thinking like I tried to escape by going to the bathroom. Like, hey, I gotta go to the bathroom. Where is it? And they're like, oh, we'll walk you there. And I was like, great. And then I was like, oh, so I'll just meet you
once
back in the line.
Once you're in.
And they waited. They stood outside the bathroom like the fucking Gestapo and were like, you go to the studio audience. I was like, fuck this.
Did you meet the people you worked with?
No. No.
What's the fucking point?
What's the point? I've been to a number of shows. I've worked in this business. I've written for television. If you're going to do something like that, give people a nice experience.
Or
meet the talent.
Come out
show
and
them
shake
around.
My
like,
fucking
yeah.
Nice. One of the producers came and talked to me, and she was very nice. And Ashley, I do like her. She was very nice about it. But I was like, this isn't what people want. Like, nobody wants this. I'm in this business, and I don't care to be in a fucking studio audience.
Yeah, you're like, I got shit to do.
I got a whole life. I've got a podcasting empire to look at.
I'm not a tourist in LA.
I'm not a tourist, and I did sit next
to
some like Midwest tourists who are like, why are you here? I'm like, I produce. I don't know. Like, I don't know why I'm here.
I only produce
because I have no fucking
bullshit.
Spine. That's why I'm here. Because I'm a fucking piece of shit and I hate myself. That's why I'm here. All right, so that's my quick wine. Let's do lightning.
Lightning.
Let's do lightning. That's a new drug.
What does RM stand for?
Ooh.
I'm just jumping in.
She jumped right
in. I didn't know the answer to this.
Okay, this is an acronym.
Ricardo Montalban.
Yes, absolutely.
Correct.
Is that right?
No.
Oh, God. I was like, wow, that's a weird guess.
For champagne.
No idea. Ricardo Montalban.
Récoltant manipulant.
Oh.
That means it's a grower explosive. Champagne.
I should have guessed with that.
Grower champagne. So the thing with champagne is there's champagne houses, there's champagne cooperatives, and there's grower champagnes. And people tend to buy a lot of wine from all over because the weather's so unpredictable there. And they save it over the years and they come up with their house blends. And so there's a lot of people buying grapes or wine made by a lot of people that don't work for their company.
Oh.
Grower champagne is the actual person making the wine, owns the land, so it's sort of like farm to table.
So it's like
it's
extra
farm
fancy.
To table wine.
Extra fancy. They're not like buying like cheap juice on the side.
No. It's also
not,
supposed
not those
to
fucking
be
street grapes.
So street grapes.
People selling them at intersections and stuff. Like grapes.
Oh, I'm making champagne. One bushel.
It's also supposed to be like more representative of a terroir because you have the person with the one parcel of land rather than the person getting grapes from all over until they can concoct a brew that tastes okay.
Because there's also the belief that good winemaking is actually just good farming.
I have to believe that's true.
Mm.
Ride that lightning, guys.
Ride that lightning.
Ride the lightning.
That's what I'm going to say every time.
Oh, yeah. We didn't mention this is a premier crew.
Oh, we just said a premier crew. Yeah.
Yeah.
Premier crew village.
Bonjour.
Merci. Bonsoir. Au revoir. Et ça va. Ça va bien. What is the punt on a bottle?
I love this question.
It's the butt. It's the thing you stick your thumb up.
Do you know why? Yeah,
yes.
You were good.
Yeah.
Wait, are you taking points?
Yeah, and well, he didn't get the first one.
Right, so zero points.
I'm sure it's not Ricardo Montalban.
That's crazy. That's really crazy.
I'm impressed you knew what the punt was, though, because
I don't know how I recently learned about that on accident. But yeah, that's you hold it there to, like, pour it.
That's not why it came around.
Is that
though?
Not why it came around? Why did it come around? Tell me, so you could kill people better with it? Is it stronger for bashing skulls in?
It was because glass blowers originally would have to sort of cut off the end and there would be like a little divot and then you put the wine down and the wine Well, Sean's rolling it around. The wine bottle won't sit upright, so they pushed it up.
It's hard to make it flat, so they did a little cheat.
But now, they especially keep it for champagne because the pressure.
It does help with
because
pressure.
The secondary fermentation happens in the bottle. The carbon dioxide causes pressure to be real high, and apparently having that in there makes the pressure more even.
You know what? I'll spoil it for the listeners out there. We pop champagne. That cork didn't go anywhere. It wasn't like a fun
that's the
cork.
That's how you're supposed to do
that's
it.
That's like the swap.
No, I know you're supposed to do it that way, but all of us fucking plebeians out there, we're shooting corks across the street.
I know, that's exactly.
We're shaking it up, seeing how far we can shoot the cork. We're like the fucking NASA space program. We're like, how far can we light this rocket? Like,
I mean, it was disappointing to me when I realized that, like, you're actually not supposed to make any noise if possible. You're supposed to be like,
ooh, you're supposed to, like
a
silence
ninja. You're supposed to be a fucking ninja of the wine cork.
A wine
if
ninja.
If we go on to do the next level of these tests we're taking, we're going to have to open wine like a ninja.
Yeah, for sure.
Scared. Again, how pretentious and white can this get? I want to be a wine ninja.
The douchiest person described it to me like, it should sound like a woman sighing. Ugh, go fuck yourself.
Do you guys want to hear how I sigh?
She's sounding like, what is she sighing about? She has no worries.
Love.
She's sighing because you're taking too long to open the fucking wine. I want to get drunk. Like, pop that shit.
That cork.
I'm sighing about cake.
Ella's gonna never let this cake go.
I'm like fixated on cake now. That I've been
all right. I mean, if you want, I'll invite you to the tasting. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll come. I'll bring champagne.
You're in.
Oh, yes.
You're in.
I know what I'm good for.
So you got the punt. You got that. So 1,000 points for that.
I'm impressed because this is not something I really had really heard or studied until recently. So yeah. I'm impressed.
It's also he called like the butt points. Or something stupid like that, right? Doesn't it have like a couple stupid names like that? Yeah. Okay, maybe not. All right. Keep going.
Maybe like a Judd Apatow movie.
Ride that lightning.
We mentioned him already, but who was Dom Perignon?
Où est Dom Perignon?
You know, he was a mob boss in the Champagne region of France.
The monks, yeah.
He's a Dom Perignon.
Well, who was he?
Dom is an honorific for being a monk, and he is one of the people who was. Well, he was one of the people who really elevated. Now I'm looking at my notes. Elevated winemaking. He figured out how. What else?
He elevated wine like Dominic Toretto. Elevated street racing, right?
Exactly. He was the first person.
He featured in the Fast and Furious movies.
Dominic Toretto?
Yes. Yeah.
Of course he is. Totally. He's the main character. You know, he lived his life as a quarter mile at his time. Maybe, you know, Dom P lived his life 750 milliliters at a time, you know?
Totally. Actually,
bravo. Well said.
He did. Cause
I should have said three quarters.
He was
the
first. He was one of the first people to experiment with the glass storage, which was instrumental in people being like, "Oh, we can make champagne a cool thing, not an accident."
He's like trying to be like a fucking rock and
he
roll.
He also
monk.
figured out how to make white wine from red grapes, which is what champagne is, because this is made from like
it's all the same shit. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Pinot Noir, Chardonnay, and Pinot Meunier. Pinot Meunier,
and none of that means penis.
None of that means penis, no.
It doesn't matter what anybody tells you.
Penis Meunier.
And this is a penis.
That's what
Meunier.
We drink at bachelorette parties, guys.
The penis. That's true. Oh, that's a great part of wedding, too. Bachelorette and bachelor stuff, guys. Check
out. Oh, shit.
I'm a big fan.
Yeah?
Are you BIP, Batch in Paradise?
No.
I think he was talking about the parties.
Bachelor parties, like, for the wedding stuff.
Oh, you guys, I got so excited about Bachelor
I'm
in
sorry,
Paradise
Sean,
just then.
You did light up like a Christmas tree.
Like a Christmas tree,
you
guys.
Oh, man.
Sean, I'm going to start watching this with you so I can find the joy in this, because a lot of people do.
Don't do it, you guys. Please
I'll bring
don't.
Champagne.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, okay. But if you're bringing champagne, yes.
Yeah, she knows where her value is.
I know where her value is. I know a woman's place.
A woman's place is in the bubbly.
You guys can always know if it's the second episode they record of the night because the laughs get louder and everything's a little bit looser. All right, next thing, ride that lightning.
Last fucking question.
Ride the lightning.
What's bringing you joy?
Spit take.
He nearly choked.
He nearly
He's like,
choked
oh,
on the bubble.
What am I, at Cafe Gratitude?
Yes, exactly.
I like
it. It's because we whined this whole episode.
Yeah,
we can't
just bring something.
Note.
Just bring it. Like, what's bringing you some smiles?
Okay, what's been
Cynthia
bringing
smiles?
Me, smiles.
You know the right answer to this.
Okay, is it? It's my wife. That's not it at all.
fuck.
No, you know what? I'll say what's something that that I think everybody should do. This is like a. But I bought all my flights for my honeymoon just 2 days
ooh,
ago.
Ooh, wait, where are you going?
Paris. Whoa. Ireland.
Whoa.
Italy.
Whoa.
It's just one night in Paris, so it doesn't really count. Which is also the name of a porno.
Perfect. Reenactments all around.
That's the plan. So that's like we're not doing it until a little bit after the wedding. But what I think is exciting about planning it super early is like we just get a lot of time to anticipate it and plan it and like have that joy of, you know, the excitement of planning that stuff for a long time. And I was thinking about like delaying it. I was like, I'll just wait until it's a bit closer. I know how to get flights a little bit cheaper. You wait. There's a certain window. And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to say it's like, these are where we're going. These are the dates. Like, get excited. And now we've just been like, ah, all the stuff we got to do. So that's been very exciting is thinking a lot about the honeymoon. When we're done with what I've been whining about, which is planning the wedding, and we're on to the real shit, which is being married forever and starting to fuck and put out babies and
there
stuff.
There you go.
Do it in Paris.
Do it in Paris.
I mean, that seems like a little quick, but all right, I'll try.
Yeah, I'll try.
Dude, I've had one friend get pregnant on her honeymoon and the other, like, get pregnant in the, like, the, we're...
The bridal suite?
The fantasy suite, as we call it on The Bachelor?
The we're going to get engaged because we're going to Paris to pick out rings.
Oh,
trip.
Wow. Yeah.
And it's like, shit, oopsies. You don't have your ring yet.
Gotta really throttle this whole thing.
It's working out well so far, so...
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah.
So I'm voting for Paris.
Well, that's great.
Vote for Paris. Yeah, we're going to spend the night in Paris.
For Palestine babies.
Let me know. I'll send, if there's something I should be on the lookout for. We're going to spending the most time in Italy, but as far as wine goes, I will be talking
to Italy.
You. Yeah, we'll talk,
Florence, Venice, Rome, Sorrento.
I mean, all of it.
We're spending most of our time in
Italy. Especially Venice.
Everything else. It goes like longer and longer in each country. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. So I'm going to be looking for some references and just like, what wine do I bring back, which is going to cost me $1 million, but I'll do it anyway. Whatever.
Actually, it'll be less there probably to get from the people, like the importer
fees. Talking about baggage fees, motherfucker.
Oh,
I got another thing to whine
about. I forgot about that. All right, so obviously Stephen's honeymoon is what's giving him joy.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Looking forward
and
to
she's
that.
The best, and that is the truth. Is I'll just say it real quick. I'll dedicate it. I'll dedicate my appearance on. No, I can't. I can't cross dedicate. But I think my fiance is really great, and I'm excited about doing all the stuff with her. Even though I'm bitching about it, I'm really excited about all of it. It'll be good.
I love it.
I love it. Well, on that note, cheers. Some champagne. You have any cheers left?
Cheers.
Thanks so much for being here. We're so excited to work with you.
We are.
This is a dream.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Glass! Hey, thanks
for listening.
We're so excited to be here at Boardwalk. Thank you, Stephen, for having us.
Yeah, thanks. It's so cozy here at Boardwalk Audio.
Yeah.
It's like a nice fall sweater that I'm putting on.
Yeah. Aw, get into the Boardwalk, guys.
Thanks to everyone, UCB, Covell, Wine Peeps.
Dr. America for our music.
Yeah.
Zig. Cody Ziegler for keeping us online.
Keeping us sounding good, keeping our levels mixed.
That's right. Like on this iPhone.
Not like this crazy iPhone.
Hey, if you guys could go on iTunes and write us a review, that would be so good. Be like, hey, guys, we love that you're with Boardwalk now. You sucked before. Or, you know, something like that. You don't have to say we ever sucked before.
Don't put words in their mouth. They can say whatever they want on their review. It's their time.
As long as it's nice.
It's their space.
True.
Thank you, space. Up next week, we have Kate Herman on the show talking about Alexa.
Ooh.
She's listening, guys.
Yeah, beware.
So tune in next week.
Cheers.
Cheers.
This has been a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit boardwalkaudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.